We have been going through the book of Ephesians. We have been going through each piece of armor. Rather than rush, I'm going to try and stay with one piece today, and that is the shoes, the gospel shoes. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This means that the shoes of preparedness, the gospel shoes, provide for us a readiness, that we should always be ready to proclaim the good news, the glad tidings, to run with his commandments. Those who have received the gospel, those who know the gospel of peace, should have swift feet to publish the gospel of peace. I'm thinking of an illustration. If you had discovered the cure for a terrible disease, very bad disease, and you were a scientist and had come to a conclusion, all the people need is this, and you kept quiet, how terrible it would be that you did not publish the good news that you have the cure. And you and I, we know the cure to the worst disease that mankind can ever have, and that is the disease of sin and death. And how can we be silent and not tell people the good news, the glad tidings? Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the Savior. So our subject today is every Christian's great purpose. Every Christian's great purpose. There's not much difficulty in seeing what is meant by the sandals of peace or the boots of peace. Just as the belt of truth had to do with our mind and the breastplate of righteousness with our heart and guarding our heart, the shoes are an image of that which concerns our will. Our feet carry us from place to place. Our feet take our bodies from here to there. And the will is that which directs our feet where to go. Our feet don't just go without the will directing them. Our will decides what we will do, what action we will take. So the gospel shoes, when our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel, it signifies enthusiasm. It signifies readiness. It signifies a response to God's revealed will. We have a clear charge. The Word of God gives us a clear commandment to make Christ known to every person, to every creature, and to certainly make Christ known whenever we have opportunity. Are we dedicated to that? Is that our will? Is that our goal? The peace of the gospel, it comes from walking in obedience to its terms, by fulfilling the duties which the gospel prescribes. To the degree that we are obedient to fulfilling the gospel will be the degree that we enjoy its peace. The third piece of armor, the gospel shoes, is for reinforcing our will against Satan's temptations. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace results in having single-mindedness, undivided trust in Jesus Christ, a greater willingness to bear our cross, to take up our cross and follow him. And it also brings forth a greater desire to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service unto the Lord. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Christians are meant to be steadfast, active, and moving, progressing, ascending. That's the reason the feet need shoes. God didn't save us to sit on the sofa. God saved us and gave us a commission. Christians are meant to run the race that's set before them. Left to ourselves, left to our own, we are so feeble. We need protection. We cannot run this race barefooted. We cannot expect to arrive without these gospel shoes. And the road is rough. We know the road is rough. Many of us have experienced roughness and difficulties. And there are stones, and there are sharp sticks, there are thorns. We need the protection that these shoes are going to provide and give us, which this grace, these shoes are a grace. They are granted unto us. Let's examine these shoes and learn some facts about this great provision. They come from the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't come from barter. They come from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is skillful in all arts. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows by experience what is needed. Why does he know? Because he himself walked the same paths that we have to walk. He was a man who walked the shores of Galilee. He knows what we are going to face. He knows the road. He knows how difficult it is. He knows how rough the ways are. But what are these shoes made from? They are made from the most excellent material available in all the universe. The material that cost the highest price. No price so high has ever been paid for this material. And this material that the shoes are made from, they are prepared with the gospel of peace. Leather that is well seasoned, soft in wear, and long lasting. Peace with God. This peace was purchased with the greatest price, the blood of Jesus Christ. Peace past, present, and future. Peace and harmony with God's word and all his teachings. This is what the gospel shoes will provide for us. Peace. And they are proven and reliable shoes. Jesus wore them and he finished his race. The saints wore them and they finished their race. The Apostle Paul wore them and he finished his race. All the martyrs wore them and finished their race. When we wear these shoes, we too shall finish our race. They are shoes that never wear out. They never get old. Yes, the gospel shoes are very old, but they are always new. They are ever new. We may wear them in all ages, in all places. They are never out of fashion. They shall get us to where we are going. And I just want to add something there. The gospel presentation is the same for all ages. It doesn't need to change because we are in 2024. It is the same gospel of peace that is proclaimed today as 2,000 years ago. Let's try these shoes on. Let's observe and see how good they are. They are a perfect fit. They are individually made to suit each one of us. The shoes they give an excellent foothold. They can tread upon high places. You can climb and ascend to high places with these shoes. Oh, these gospel shoes are wonderful. they give us an excellent foothold, and they give us holy boldness. The marching powers they give us for our daily duty, no one grows weary of wearing these shoes. They are comfortable. They are wonderful protection upon the way. And with these shoes, we shall tread upon the lion and upon the adder. They are shoes that protect us from the enemy, from the snakes. Just look at the barefooted people around us, those without these wonderful shoes, the sinner that is barefooted. Yet, although the sinner is barefooted, he's so foolish, he kicks against the pricks. How can he do that? How can he expect to finish the race that is before him? How can somebody without these shoes complete the path? The Christian who is lip service only is careless what he wears. The professor, the one who comes to church only and never really lets the Lord get a hold of his heart, doesn't really care about wearing these shoes. He'll wear any shoes. He will even wear tight shoes. He will wear slippers. He doesn't care. Those things that he puts on will soon be worn out. They will not help him to finish the race. The gospel alone supplies a fit shoe for all feet. Your feet shod with the preparation of peace. The word preparation signifies preparedness or readiness, as seen in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. The scripture says, instant, in season, and out of season. It's a readiness. It's an instantness. And we see it again in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. I am ready to preach the gospel. This is what these shoes, they give a readiness to preach the gospel. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. Those that wear these shoes, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, and bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. This is a soldier's shoe that we're talking about, which is of the strongest make. It's not intended for finery or show, but for defense, for climbing, and for marching. The gospel shoe will never fit a foot that is swelled with any sinful way, swelled with pride, swelled with unrighteous living and ungodly practices. The evil must be purged out by repentance, and then we shall be able to fit these well-fitting shoes. We will be able to wear the shoes of peace, the readiness to preach the gospel. This readiness also includes living right. The Jews were to eat the Passover with their loins girded and shoes on the feet and the staff in their hand. They were to be ready to move out. And we are ready. We should be ready to proclaim and make Christ known. With these gospel shoes, we can go over any terrain. We can cover great distances. And the point is that we are to be ready. I've put in my notes here 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you the reason of your hope. Give it in meekness and in fear. Are we ready to always give an answer of the hope that we have? The Colossians 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always seasoned with salt. Always be ready to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you get ready? We must prepare by being dedicated to this work. If we don't come to the realization that this is a commandment and a sincere charge from God, if we've not seen in God's word for ourselves personally that this is a commandment I should keep, we won't really be dedicated to it. But when we see it in the word for ourselves, we become committed to it. This I must do. We are dedicated to it because we have seen it ourselves. He has called each of us to bear fruit, the fruit of holiness and the fruit of being a witness for Him. To be ready, we must give serious thought to the gospel. We must ask ourselves questions. Who do I hope to reach? How will I go about this? What opportunities are likely to present themselves? Most importantly, if an opportunity is given to me, do I know what I would say? Have I got something of substance that I could preach? Something of substance that I could share? Have I got a scripture that's burning on my heart that I can speak? And this is the preparation. If we never think about this, it will never really happen. We must think about it, or else we will not be ready. If day after day passes without a single thought, we don't even give it a thought, we can honestly say, I've not accepted the challenge of the Great Commission. I've not made it mine. I've not seen it for myself. I don't see the importance. I don't see the value. When the gospel is the most important to you, it's something that you will think about every single day. Now, after giving thought, how are we going to minister? To whom are we going to minister? What ammunition am I going to gather to speak to that one in the office? Now next, we begin to pray for them. We begin to pray about this. What should I pray? Well, we pray for God to open the door of opportunity, and we pray for the one specifically that we are hoping to witness to. We pray that God would open their heart and open their eyes. But then the preparation is very practical. Am I living an upright life before the ones that I hope to witness to? Will my hearers respect what I'm going to say because my life is backed by holy living? Or does my behavior and my lifestyle give credibility to that which I'm going to say to them? This is what it is meant to be ready and to be prepared. How can I be a witness to somebody in the office that I'm always fighting with, always clashing with, always arguing with? It's not going to really work. What will I say when God opens that door? What will I say when I am given that opportunity? What arguments will I use? I was reading a book, 50 Questions, and I thought, this is very helpful. 50 questions to ask the unbeliever. 50 arrows, 50 weapons that we can use. What kind of person am I going to be speaking to? Do I know whether they are backslider? Do I know whether they are notorious sinner? Do I know whether they are self-righteous person? Are they a churchgoer, but that's it, a Sunday-only Christian? And when I know what kind of person I'm hoping to visit, I can gather the relevant ammunition, the relevant scriptures. I can know and have the Bible verse in mind, and I can have a strong case to present. Have we prayed about what we are going to say? And that's very important. presenting the gospel is more than just saying, you're a sinner, you need Jesus Christ. It's more than just a simple presentation like that. The Apostle Paul reasoned. He reasoned with Felix and his partner. I don't know if it was his actual wife, but Drusilla. And he laid out a strong case. And he thoroughly presented the matter. He spoke about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. He was extremely direct and clear, and he touched the raw nerve of Felix. He didn't pull back and say, well, Felix is a big man. Felix, I'll just give him a little. No, he went straight and he spoke very boldly. Felix, although he was a pagan and non-believing and believing in all sorts of wrong gods and doing all sorts of wrong temple worship, yet Paul spoke to him as though he was one who would understand and grasp. And we need to understand that every man has a conscience, and when we speak the truth to them, it pricks the conscience. Doesn't matter how bad they are, but when you speak the truth to them, it touches their hearts. And Paul described the judgment day to Felix. He described to Felix how he would have to give an account for his behavior. He dealt with him very directly. And what was the result? The Bible says that Felix trembled. Felix trembled. The words didn't just bounce off his hard heart, off his Roman way of thinking. They pricked his heart. And we need to ask the Lord for words that will prick the hearts of our hearers. We describe the gospel remedy. We plead with the people to repent and to believe. Every human being instinctively realizes that the gospel is true. And if he hears the gospel or she hears the gospel, they will be challenged, even if they deny it. Even if they say, I don't believe it, it still will challenge their hearts. When we present the gospel in truth and in love, when we present it clearly and speak it in love, it touches the chord of every human heart. And that heart says, yes, I know this is true, what they are saying. The other consideration of readiness is, remember, these are shoes of preparedness and of readiness. And the other consideration is, are we ready to suffer loss? When we boldly speak for the Lord Jesus Christ in the office, and when we stand up for truth in the office, maybe the boss or the manager, he doesn't like it, and he says, that one's a Christian. I'm not going to recommend them for promotion. I don't like their lifestyle. Part of the preparation is to say, I'm ready, Lord, to pay the price. I'm not going to be foolish and careless and cause trouble to come to myself. But if I speak the truth and I suffer a disadvantage, so be it. I will do this for the sake of the kingdom. Some people don't like the heavy gospel shoes. They don't like the gospel shoes include greaves that cover, brass greaves that cover the shin. The thick leather sandals, or later they developed into boots, and they had spikes underneath, sharp spikes. And when the Roman soldiers would get into hand-to-hand combat, it was not only hand-to-hand, sometimes they kicked with those spikes. And they were shoes of offense. And when we're wearing these shoes, they will trample upon, as I mentioned, upon the lion and upon the adder. But some people say, that's too much. That's too much for me. Give me slippers, nice, furry slippers. That's all I want, slippers. And they've chosen the footwear of ease. Yes, they will go to heaven, but what loss they will suffer. There are others that say, no, I want shoes of ease. I want shoes of being well known. I want shoes of fame. I want shoes of position. I want shoes of being esteemed among men. I want position. I want to be comfortable. I want to be happy. That's all I want. Well, let's look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible says that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try or test every man's work, of what sort it is. And if a man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as a stick snatched from the fire. And really, many Christians are like that. They are so involved with things that are not eternal. And yes, they will be saved, but as a stick snatched from the fire. But I want my life to, I want to take multitudes of people with me. I want my life to impact people's lives. Like the Apostle Paul, who had a commission and was consumed with the task. Like the Apostle Paul knew what God's word says. Like we know what God's word says. He that wins souls is wise. I want to be like Paul and say, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. These men that are wearing gospel shoes, they have eyes for eternity. They see the fate of the lost. They are stirred and they have pity for them. They are compelled to do their very best to share the truth with them. This is the only work that we can do upon earth that can be transferred to eternity. I can't take any of my projects with me. I can't take my house with me. I can't take my car with me. I can't take my phone. I can't take my computer. But I can take the lost with me to heaven. I can preach the glad tidings, the good news. Let us be of this mold and this persuasion. Amen. Dear Lord, we come before you thanking you that you have entrusted to us the gospel, the eternal gospel, the gospel of peace. Oh Lord, let us be faithful. Let us run with this truth, Lord. Let us boldly speak the truth wherever we go. Help us to be witnesses. Help us to be gospel messengers. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.